I don't have anything huge prepared here, but if you'll bear with me, I'll try to be brief. So I'm going to try to talk a little bit about a very broad topic, Palestine solidarity work and repression. There's a lot of organizations that I think in David Noble's talk will be covered. There's been a fairly dramatic reorganization of the Israel lobby, what they call themselves the sort of Israel advocacy group, so the Israel advocacy apparatus, in recent years. So sort of looking at the historical background, following especially the 1967 war, where Israel dealt a major blow to forces for independence in the Arab world by beating back Egypt under Nasser, a real alliance developed between especially the United States and Israel, and by extension also to a very significant degree Canada. In the coming years, with support not just from the Jewish community, but from the general North American elite, the three main organizations that had been dealing with Israel and with the main Jewish community organizations in Canada in terms of the mainstream, B'nai B'rith, the Canadian Jewish Congress, and the Canadian Zionist Federation, all formed a sort of amalgamated lobby, the Canada-Israel Committee. Now, that sort of through, and Noble knows more about this than me, through to the late 90s was the main Israel lobby group. That's since been very dramatically reorganized as a means of trying to cope with the solidarity organizing that occurred in relation to the most recent Palestinian uprising, the Al-Aqsa Intifada. So I'm not going to try to talk too much about the organizational specifics. But what I do want to talk about in relation to their activities and how their activities relate to North American foreign policy generally is, I guess, the question of the use of anti-Semitism and its use as a means of beating back criticism of Israel. Now, it's worth stressing just how much this is not a matter of isolated Jewish community lobbies, especially with respect to the question, say, of anti-Semitism and its misuse in beating back criticism of Israel. It's worth recalling that the outgoing justice minister of the Paul Martin government, Erwin Kotler, who incidentally was a past president of the Canadian Jewish Congress, himself is, in terms of the Canadian literature, one of the main academics who's pushed the idea of blurring the line between racist hatred of Jews and criticism of Israeli apartheid. So the way he put it, echoing a very typical line in North American circles, if classical anti-Semitism was anchored in discrimination against the Jewish religion, the new anti-Jewishness is anchored in discrimination against the Jews as a people and the embodiment of that expression in Israel. Now, this is again typical Israeli foreign policy and Zionist policy, stressed also by Israeli diplomat Abba Eben, I think in the 70s, saying the chief task of Israel in relating to the Gentile world is trying to blur that line between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. So I guess what I'm going to argue for, in terms of criminalization of dissent and repression, you do have in places like Palestine resistance against Israeli apartheid being met with police batons, being met with missiles, being met with extrajudicial assassination. What we face here is more political attacks, and especially if you're looking on campus, it's mostly going to be defamation of movements as terroristic or as anti-Semitic that we need to face. So I guess just, I'm going to argue for stressing the importance of knowledge of and distinction between actual anti-Semitism, which we do have to take seriously, and this concept that's been pioneered by the likes of Kotler and is going to be used against us on every campus, in every forum where we're debating with mainstream Canada on these issues, which is that notion of anti-Semitism. Now, I guess the point to stress would be that on the one hand, there is that horrible tradition of anti-Semitism, the tradition of the mass racist killings in Eastern Europe, the pogroms, and then especially the extermination from 39 to 45. But what you see coming out of the Second World War is you see Zionism emerge and try to lay claim to that struggle, to the struggle against anti-Semitism. And it's very remarkable, because Zionism is built on a very fundamental strategic alliance with colonial powers and with dominant reactionary forces, especially in the Arab world. So through much of the 20th century, you saw them allying with Britain as a means of getting things like the Balfour Declaration and Title II, create a Jewish state in Palestine. After the Second World War, they were fighting alongside the French against Arab nationalism as the French fought the Algerian Revolution. But since 1967, there's been this strategic military alliance between the United States and Israel. And this has manifested itself on the one hand in terms of military coordination, but very importantly, it's also manifested itself in terms of the Zionists putting at the disposal of the neoconservative right this moral prestige, the moral prestige against the struggle against anti-Semitic persecution. So look to a campus like York. And this doesn't only have to do with Palestine organizing. Take, for example, the movement against the war in Iraq. The only current that felt confident at York's campus in openly praising the war in Iraq was precisely the Young Zionist Partnership. This was an alliance between our main sort of Jewish Students Federation, Hillel, and the Tory Party. And this is the organization that brought Stockwell Day onto our campus to praise the war effort. Similarly, you see another major Israel lobby group, the B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation League in the States, openly saying, yes, we praise the war effort, and the opponents of the war are anti-Semitic. So again, what you have then is not only organizations concerned with beating back support for the Palestinian struggle, but a broad range of North American social forces that are concerned with beating back progressive activity of any kind, trying with respect to, say, an anti-war movement to, on the one hand, identify anti-imperialist work quite properly with support for the Palestinian struggle. But on the other hand, say, okay, and since you're supporting the Palestinian struggle, you're anti-Semitic. And it's a very pernicious development, because what you see is you see the neoconservative right in a very big way being able to lay claim to this tradition and being able to smear its opponents. So I guess what I'd be arguing for is we really just need to be able to make those distinctions and understand, on the one hand, the history of real anti-Semitism, but then really investigate that development of the concept of the new anti-Semitism and how it's very strategically being used to beat back criticism of Israel. So I think some of the further issues, we can just leave them to discussion period and to the rest of the speakers. But one thing I really would like to just agree with a lot is that to the degree that our movements could possibly get sucked into the trap of being anti-Semitic, it would, I think, be precisely to the degree that we substituted hardline anti-imperialist politics for an understanding of these developments as something specific to the Jewish community or specific to Jews. And when we're talking about, for example, there was a discussion at the end of the last panel in terms of how do we deal with Canadian officials who don't know what's going on, and I think it really just does need to be stressed that we cannot be consistent Palestine solidarity activists and hope to align with any portion of the Canadian political establishment. What the Canadian political establishment is doing in supporting Israeli apartheid is horrible. We need to confront it, but we also need to recognize that I don't know if people remember, but in November of 2005, just the end of last year, there was that conference in Toronto to which Ariel Sharon had been invited. Now, Paul Martin, the Prime Minister at that time, spoke at the conference saying that Canada's values are Israel's values. And that was a sick manifestation of support for Israeli apartheid, but it was also a policy statement that's been borne out by this government in its policies, helping to overthrow a government in Haiti and occupy that country, joining and occupying Afghanistan, and on down the line. So I guess maybe I'll just try to wrap this up quickly because we are running late, but given a context in which vigorous opposition to support for Israeli apartheid is a necessity, we are in one of those contexts, and we need to understand that our best defense against the weapon that they're going to try to use against us in terms of alleging we're anti-Semitic or whatever else it is to really stick to the facts and make sure that we don't get sucked into some sort of any liberal alliances saying, okay, well, we won't be extremist, instead we'll be liberal and try to just align with the part of the Canadian class that we might agree with the Canadian political establishment. What we need to do is precisely the opposite and just reject Zionism, reject alignment with the Canadian political class, and stress that support for the Palestinian right of return, not tolerating the notion that Israel is going to artificially have a Jewish demographic majority, that these are precisely prerequisite positions if we want to call ourselves anti-racists and push forward on that basis. Thank you.